Hello, friends. This is Andy Atwell welcoming you to Come, Let Us Reason Together. This next half hour will be dedicated to putting the Bible back into its number one place in the hearts and minds of mankind. Throughout the centuries, the Bible remained the number one book sold. Only today has it taken a back shelf position in men's lives and minds. Even Christian bookstores have more books about the Bible than the Bible itself. The Bible is the only book written by God, and in it alone is found the pathway to life. Come now, let us reason together with Gilbert Larson and his friends.
Good morning, everyone. It's time to get your Bible and grab a cup of coffee. And this is Gilbert Larson from Redding, California.
Hi, I'm Andy from Vancouver, Washington.
Hey, I'm Brett from Vancouver, Washington also.
That's the greeting of Brett's generation. You can tell he's a younger man. It's, hey. Hey is the greeting. Hi or hello was our greeting. Or
salutations.
Yes, yeah, salutations. Maybe a generation or two before us. We are in the book of Matthew. We'd like you to come and join us in looking at the book of Matthew, which an ancestor of ours, whom we adopted, his name was Ivan Panins, and we've read a lot of his writings, but he gave us the most precisely edited version of the Bible, translation into English from the original Greek. He also looked at the Hebrew, all of the Hebrew, and analyzed it too, just like he did the Greek, and he worked with Westcott and Hort. He lived around the time of the Civil War and passed away in 1943. I knew his secretary. She was very young when she was his secretary. By phone conversations is all. I never got to meet her like I did some of the other people that have done the books we use. But anyway, I got a glimpse into her life with Ivan Panin. And their respect and treatment of the Bible was exactly like ours. Their conclusions were exactly like ours. She gave us a picture of them taking communion together, like the Lord sat down with his 12 disciples, and gave us a picture of it, and it was exactly what we did in small groups, maybe 12 people at the most. And we all looked at each other face to face, and in the middle of this fellowship was Jesus, was the Lord. And you can find that in the book of Mark in chapter 3. We'll get into that book later. But he, through his writings, he spent this one chapter in a book that things that he saw in the Bible, conclusions that he came to, was something about the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the good news, the four things about the good news and how they were stair steps, like this vision that Jacob saw. Israel was God's name that he gave him. Anyway, that Israel saw when he was asleep and he was in Bethel, the house of God, a place called Bethel. Later on, it was called that, but it was named that at that time that we could see, and he fell asleep and saw this vision of a stairway leading up to where God was, Yahweh was, because he was at the top of this stair step, and Israel was at the bottom, and he was lying, and his head was on a stone, and we believe that stone to be Jesus Christ, the fundamentals of Jesus, that lead us in this stairway and ascending on along this stairway, ascending and descending, were angels. And we know that God has given to each one of us an angel. People call them guardian angels or whatever, but they're messengers. The word angel means, angelos means messenger. They were messengers of God that are there at the moment we have salvation, and they are there the moment we go to sleep and go back to God. And they're there all along the way. And they're there to watch over us and to keep us. from all harm and to teach us. They're part of the messengers. He saw that the first stair step was understanding the book of Matthew. So we're taking a bit of time and laying this big, it's like a foundation principle in this regard. And so we're looking at them a little differently. Now we're trying this out. We're trying this on. We haven't fully done the whole thing, but we're through this, these radio shows, we're trying this on to see how it fits. And so far, what do you think?
Oh, it's evident that it's true. And the more we get into it, we can see the sequences of it is true. And so we're 3/4 through 1/4 of it. But we're seeing that it's very interesting and very true to set the standards for what's coming ahead. Matthew lays things down. The Lord lays things down in Matthew, and then he goes on, and it keeps building, Mark, Luke, John. And we are just trying to really stay focused on Matthew and not deviate.
Well, actually, the individual that helps us record this is Kevin Netlingham, and he saw this happen. Actually, he saw it in action that I had a false assumption yesterday, and we were recording, I think we recorded 3 radio shows based on this false assumption. I went back and looked after we did it, getting ready for the next radio show, and the very first verse proved me wrong. So Kevin, his eyes are really big when I say, you need to erase those 3. I made a mistake. We're going to start again. And he's a perfectionist recording guy, and you should have seen the look on his face. It was pretty interesting. But if you go back to what Jesus said, the very first thing he said is change your mind because the kingdom of the heavens is at hand. So what do we have to do?
Change your mind because the kingdom of the heavens is at hand.
Right. We were basing things on a false assumption. Immediately we threw those away. And we didn't want you to hear them. It could have been a good premise, but it was all wrong. So why even go there? I didn't even want to try to correct it later on. We just had to start over again. But if you keep that in mind, that when you read the Bible, you're going to be changing your mind. I'm 52 years in reading it, and I just had to change my mind. I couldn't hesitate. I couldn't wait. I couldn't think about it at night. I knew it was wrong immediately right there, and we just started over again. It was just the way we were looking at the scriptures. So,
you know, and God will test us to see when he shows us something, will we change our mind? And this is a good example.
When Moses met the I Am, did he change his mind?
Yeah.
A lot. He had some false ideas, and the best is, don't even take any time. Just change your mind. Don't make it harder than what it is. If it's wrong, just change your mind.
Isn't it interesting? If you start a song off tone or off key, the song just doesn't sound right. And so we just had a, we started at the wrong key, and we got reset. That's all.
Please keep with you the very first instruction Jesus gave to the disciples before he said, come and follow me. He said, change your mind, repent, metanoos, change your mind, because the kingdom of the heavens is at hand. So in other words, basically, your way of thinking is all wrong because you're earth-based. You're based on the world. And how's the world doing right now? Is it doing better and better?
Definitely not.
How old are you, Brett?
34.
34. He's a young guy. And I remember when I was 34, I wasn't even quite mature then. I think I started really maturing at about age 40. Now, my wife started maturing before she was married to me. But I'm a guy. You know, guys are... What, do you kind of relate to that, you guys?
Sure.
Yes.
Brett's really laughing that right now. Anyway, it takes us longer. We just weren't built for maturity right off the bat. Maybe the Lord gave us grace where we could... you know, be young-hearted for a while. That's why you didn't have to go to battle. If you got married and you're of age to go to war, God gave you a year off from age 20 to 21. And if you built a house, he gave you another year off to enjoy the house before, if you had to die in battle, you got to enjoy 1 year with your wife, and now you built a house, 1 year in your house, well, that means 2 years with your wife. God is a God. He's a gracious, gracious God. And even age 52 and a half, I'm older than that, but 52 and a half years of reading the Bible, I've had to repent every day I read the Bible.
You know, in another place, God says, and I'm paraphrasing a little, it's in Isaiah, it says, my ways aren't your ways, and my thoughts aren't your thoughts. He doesn't think like us. So the only way we can think like him is to change our mind. It's a limitation put on us. Really, we will not learn unless we change our mind.
I'm in my 70s now, and I don't think there's anything worse than an old grumpy, set-in-your-ways 77-year-old. I took a look at myself, and I'm going like, I don't want to be one of those. I want to be one of those happy, you know, sweet grandparents that is jovial and kind and nice to be around. So you set your path before you, but when you read the Bible, don't forget his first instructions and his always instructions, that the foundations are something you never leave. They should become more and more natural as you get older, is that changing of your mind where you can listen to people and maybe their way is better. And actually, Kevin reminded us of a way that we didn't do that particular day, is to take an hour ahead of time before we do a whole day of recording and talk, you know, about it and set the tone and so on. And Andy and I did it this morning. And so we can even learn, you can actually even learn from people that not of your fellowship group or whatever, but they're in your life. They're part of your life. If it's truth, he might put something in front of you. Even the donkey knew the truth. Remember Balaam's donkey?
Mm-hmm.
And even he knew the truth, and Balaam, a prophet who called himself a prophet of God, did not know the truth, and the donkey was saving his life. You might even have to listen to a donkey to save your life. That story's in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
We are in Matthew, and this first verse sets the tone, but we're going to go back from this verse. We are in Matthew 21. Verse 23, and when he came into the temple, the chief priests came to him while teaching, and the elders of the people, saying, by what authority do you do these things? So they came in, these chief priests and the elders, I'll call them pipsqueaks. These pipsqueaks come in and talk to the creator. What are you doing? Who gave you this authority? The creator. And that's what was running the church at that time. Don't think we're anything different today. Well, I'm talking the top religious persons in the world today, and Zadok was a priest, a good one, right?
Right.
And who do we know in the last of this priesthood, who do we know that was a good one, Andy?
Zacharias, the father of John the Baptist.
And even he made a mistake. Well, that he had to repent of, didn't he?
He challenged something, and it cost him a little bit of discomfort for a few months.
He couldn't talk.
He was mute.
God just shut his mouth because he didn't believe God. He questioned God. So even a cheap priest and even a fine one like Zacharias, he questioned God, didn't he? And so he couldn't say a word until he was finally asked something, and he said it right. The truth came out of his mouth again.
His mouth was loosed, and he could talk again. He actually was challenging whether or not God could, how would he know that something was going to come to pass, like he was going to have a son that he'd been praying for. And the angel says, well, I'll give you a sign. You won't be able to speak until this is accomplished. And so then months went by, and then when John was born, they asked, who is this? What's his name? And his dad said, Zechariah says, his name is John. And John, is something interesting shows here that Jesus went into the temple and the chief priests were there. Now, John the Baptist was the son of a priest, which means he was going to be a priest, but it's never shown in the Bible that he was actually in the temple at all. He went out to the Jordan River, and he was proclaiming a baptism of repentance into the forgiveness of sins. And all the priests went out to him, and they asked him what he was doing. Because you see, these guys knew that he was famous. He was born, and 30 years had passed, and people still had not forgotten how famous he was. He was born in this miracle birth. And so they went out to check him out to see what he was doing, because he'd had nothing to say until the word of the Lord came to him in the wilderness, and that word was, repent, for the kingdom of the heavens is at hand. So the priest went out to see him. He never went into the temple. There's no reference of him ever being in the temple speaking. And here Jesus is coming along, and finally, around the end of the book of Matthew, here Jesus comes into the temple, and they started challenging him about what was going on.
You know, something that was just sticking out here too is, maybe you already said it, but when it says here, and when he entered the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him while he was teaching. So Jesus was teaching there, and while he was teaching, they basically went up and interrupted him, is what that's looking like. Almost like that's...
And you know, the first time he was teaching in the temple was when, Brett? When he was 12 years old.
Oh, yeah.
And how did they think about him then?
They
marveled at him.
Yeah, they marveled at him.
But now he was going around, and he was healing people, and all the people were following him, and their jealousy had accelerated because they weren't in control. They were following this man, Jesus, and here they find fault with him. The same 12-year-old had grown up, and now they were offended at him, but at first he was just telling them things, and they go, how did this young person learn these things?
Mm-hmm.
So kind of like the first time he was in the temple, he was acknowledged as a wonder. And now when he comes back in, yeah, who gave you this authority?
Well, they'll try to stop him in the middle of what he's doing.
So look at the tone of what happened.
Right.
And so how did Jesus answer him, Brett?
Verse 24 says, and Jesus answered and said to them, I will also ask you one thing, which if you tell me, I will also tell you by what authority I do these things. So he answers them with a question.
He answers the question with a question. And now look, tell me, read the next one, Brett, and tell me who does he energize on this question.
It says here, the baptism of John was from what source? From heaven or from men? And they began reasoning among themselves, saying, if we say from heaven, he will say to us, why didn't you believe him? But if we say from men, we fear the crowd, for they all regard John as a prophet. So here he gets into talking about John the Baptizer.
He introduces somebody to them that they very well know.
They know who
very
he is.
Well know he was famous. And he asked them a question they couldn't answer. And Jesus says, we don't know. He also said to them, neither will I tell you by what authority do I do these things. So he asked them a question they couldn't answer. So he says, well, I'm not going to answer you either.
Isn't it interesting, though, that John the Baptizer is the next in the lineage to care for the temple. That this is the meeting place. If a person wanted to come to God, God occupied the Holy of Holies. He was on the Ark of the Covenant, the two stones that Moses, you know, the Ten Commandments that were God hewed out, the lettering was hewed out by God's hands. Moses had to make the second one. He happened to break the first one because of an evil that God's kids gotten into. But anyway, here, John the Baptizer's dad was a curator of this temple. He was one allowed to go into the holy place to go before God. And here is Jesus. We're going to get into him entering this temple. And I think this is the first mention of the temple, of Jesus going into the temple. I just tried to look it up, but you out there can look it up, and we'll look it up tonight and see if that's the first mention of Jesus entering the temple. We're going to get into that, which is interesting if we think about it that way.
In the book of Matthew.
Yeah, in the book of Matthew. But we'll correct ourselves if we're wrong here. But and maybe you listening to this program, you'll check it out too. And so all of a sudden, he's going to focus in a few scriptures. He's going to focus on in chapter 21 and 22. Or is this, are we into 22?
Not yet. Chapter? We're 21.
We're in 21, where he enters the temple. And so 21, 22, and 23, he is going to be in the temple. We're going to see what he does and how God's, how man has the curators who are supposed to be taking care of this, what they're acting like, if they've taken it over themselves with their own thoughts and ways. And we're going to see how Jesus handles this in 21, 22, and 23, and 24, this very interesting chapter in the Bible that talks about the last days. He comes out of the temple, the very first verse, and then he and his disciples are looking at the temple, and he's going to tell them about this temple. He's going to tell them what's going to happen and why it's going to happen. And that's when we get into chapter 24, we'll get into that. That's a few days from today, from this podcast. But tell us a little bit about John the Baptist, how his dad was based in this physical temple, but something happened to John the Baptizer that he didn't even have on the priest's garments, did he?
No, he didn't. One of the main things in it talks about when he was going to be born, a statement was made from the angel to Zacharias that he was going to be born filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. And so when you first see John mentioned in the book of Matthew in chapter 3, he's talking about what he looks like, and he was wearing a camel's hair-like thing around him, and and his food was different than priest. He ate grasshoppers and honey. And so
yum.
Not the honey.
Is there a restaurant? We're going to go to lunch today. Is there a restaurant that has locusts for?
Yeah, in Portland somewhere.
So if you go in the priest and look in the Old Testament, you'll find out that they didn't wear camel's hair on their skin. They had specific things that they were supposed to wear. So here John is the son of a priest, which makes him a priest, and he's not even looking like one. And then he's supposed to be at the temple, and he's not ever gone into this training or anything. He goes into the wilderness, and everybody knows he's going to be a famous person because of his birth. It wasn't hidden. All of these things about him.
The eyes of Israel are on him.
They're staring at him.
They're on him.
30 years have passed. And
you know, he's the next, in America, he's the next Billy Graham. He's the Franklin Graham.
And when he started talking, everybody went out to him. He was well known.
Well, tell us a little bit about that camel's hair.
Well, it's interesting. This camel's hair, I was riding to a meeting one day, and this thought came into my mind about camel's hair, and I've always wondered about why he's got the camel's hair on. And so, well, you know he was born filled with the Holy Spirit, but now this is a picture just—
Oh, wait a second, back up on that one. He's the only one since the fall of man—
The only one that's written about.
That is born filled with the Holy Spirit.
Even from his mother's womb.
But we jumped ahead on that one. That's not found till what, John?
It's in Luke chapter 1.
Oh, Luke.
You guys can read ahead a little bit. Anyway, so he's looking like this. So on the inside, he's holy. But on the outside, a camel is an unclean animal. So there was something about him on the outside that was unclean, but on the inside was holy. And I go, oh, that's really interesting.
Oh, really? Ooh, that's a good one, like the flesh of man.
That's the picture.
Versus his heart.
Yes.
Really, Andy?
Yes. I really looked that up hard, Gil. I was driving to a meeting, and the Holy Spirit said that to me. And I go, really? And so I got to the meeting.
That's a picture of man.
Oh, my. So I got,
and that's the picture of the new regenerate man coming to be in Acts.
Yes. And so the people at the meeting go, where did you come up with this? And I go, well, I didn't even look it up. It was told to me on the way over here. And they go, what? I go, I'm serious. This happened on the way over here today.
That's what God is going to make us into, and he's going to start in the heart to cleanse us, then to where we capture our minds, where we take control of our minds like a city with walls, and we don't let our flesh, the unclean part of us, we keep that on the outside. And actually, I've seen where people grow and grow and grow in the Lord, and their godly part, like when they came in and overtook Israel, and it grew and grew and grew through battles, that we do the same in our life, and we push our desires of our flesh out to where they no longer have control over us. And we win territory in peace versus always fighting with people. We win territory in righteousness instead of doing evil all the time, and the things we listen to on the radio and watch on TV, we turn that off. We spend more time in the Bible or in prayer or with fellowship. Instead of going once a year, we start going once a month. Well, I don't get enough now. I'm going to go once a week. There's just different things that happen in your life. I'll read the Bible once a year. Well, I'm going to read it once a month. Well, I'm going to read it every day. So these are things that we start doing, and we pray more. In the book of Daniel, they prayed morning, noon, and night. They spent time. So instead of praying once a year, we pray once a month, then we pray once a week, then we pray every day. Then we're going like, ooh, look at Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, how they went through the fiery furnace. I think I'm going to try this three times a day prayer and see what happens in my life.
You know, it says that we're to grow brighter and brighter to the perfect day. And this brightness has nothing to do with our mind. Men think of the brightness of their mind, of getting smarter, but it's the brightness of the Spirit within us that grows bigger and bigger. And like Gil was saying before, and it starts crowding out the other part of us because we choose.
Now hold some of these thoughts. We're coming to an end of this program. Where we should have started, we'll use at the end. This is Matthew 21:23. And when he came into the temple, the chief priests came to him while teaching, and the elders of the people saying, by what authority do you do these things? And who gave you this authority? And Jesus answered and said to them, and we're going to continue on in this. We will see you later. It's been a joy being with you, and come and join us again tomorrow. And until we meet again, may God lead you into all truth.
You can contact Gilbert and his friends at www.gilbertandfriends.com. That's www.gilbertandfriends.com, or write to him, Gilbert and Friends, P.O. Box 820347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. That's P.O. Box 820347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. Or call us at 360-600-6726. That's 360-600-6726. We invite your comments as we reason together through the Bible. Thank you for joining us on Come Let Us Reason Together, and reminding you all to eat a healthy breakfast every morning. Our favorite breakfast is the Bible, because it is written, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.